It's time for the truth, that we may come to know and come to grow in Jesus. And the way we come to know and come to grow in Jesus is by the study of the Word of God. And please join us today to do that. We're in the book of Jonah, chapter 3. We're going to read once again verse 1 through 10 in the third chapter. Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, the whole chapter. And we've read that for the last 2 weeks, but it's important that we look at those sweet verses and enjoy the fellowship of those as we read them. So please, that you would join us to do that. Open your Bibles. And while you're doing that, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and it's at 18th and Church. And please, that you would come and visit us. Again, if you're coming from Carthage and coming down the highway, heading towards Keokuk or Quincy, either one, before you get that far and you get to Casey's and the Dairy Queen, turn there to the, if you're coming from Carthage, turn to the right and come one block, turn to the right again, and you're there. Please come and visit us and enjoy it. And I would love to have you, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. We do have services throughout the week. We have many Bible studies, but please that you would come and enjoy the presence and the power of God as we proclaim the truth, the Word of God. We begin at 9:30 with Sunday school on Sunday morning, 10:35 with church services, and then at 7 o'clock on Sunday night we have Bible study, Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock we have Bible study, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock we have Bible study, all that here at the church. On Tuesday night we have Bible study in La Harpe at the nursing home there. We have a sweet time, been there for many years, and we love proclaiming the Word of God, and it begins as well at 7 o'clock. So please, as we have many times, if you'll notice, everything that we have here is a study of the precious Word. And as one said here just a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, we shouldn't have this much fun studying the Word of God. Well, if you study the Word of God and the truth, you'll have a joyful time, a wonderful time, and we do here. And so please that you'd come and that you would join us. Now, I hope that you have your Bibles open. We're at Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read 10 verses. And so please that you'd follow along with me today. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it that preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went up unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, and laid his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented to the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I thank you that we can come together and enjoy this precious word. I praise you for the ministry that you've allowed us to have to come across the radio and proclaim your word to many folks. And please, Lord, that you'll touch their hearts with your word, that they'll be convicted of their sin, that they'll come to the Lord Jesus and be saved, and then set upon the truth to study this precious word and to read it and to enjoy it and to learn more and more about you, Lord Jesus. And again, that they be saved and that they set out to serve you and walk after you. Now please, that you'll guide and lead us through this precious word. And again, I ask to touch the hearts of the folks that are listening today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful day. Every day is a wonderful day. And I'm glad that you're with us. I hope that you have followed through the studies as we have enjoyed the precious Word of God. I believe that this is 95 weeks that we have been on the radio. And so I hope that you've been with us all this time. And if you've just started today, why, we'll kind of catch you up a little bit. We got this man, Jonah, prophet of God, that was called of God to go do a job, and he decided not to do that, and he ran away, and we went through the whole story of being swallowed by the fish and vomited back out by the fish, and now we find Jonah in the first verse of chapter 3, that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. And see, after going through all that, and it's hard for you to understand all the weeks that we've been visiting over this short little book, but it's so powerful, and it's got so many pictures of the Lord Jesus, and also the walk that we should have, or we should not have. And so it takes time to go through it, but I'm glad that, and hope that you have been patient and studied the Word and searched the Word and listened to all the verses of Scripture we've went through. Now, the Word of the Lord came in him the second time. He was told what to do, and that's what we took the time last week to talk about, and that is that we proclaim what God tells us to proclaim. Do not be caught up by what seems to be right. And this is not a common thought today and a common talk today that we stay only in the Word of God. Many people believe that the Word of God is not totally and completely inspired. There's areas that are the inspired Word of God. There's areas that are not the inspired Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God from cover to cover. And if you begin to decide what is right and is not right, it's going to be a sad day. You have lost the power of God. And as we talked last week, and we're studying in Laharp in the book of Acts, and we've discussed the philosophers of that day, and they thought about it. Oh, they tried to study it out, search it out to see, and they kind of scratched their head to see if, oh, is that right or is that not right? My friend, look at the Word of God. And if you believe it, as I believe it, that it is the truth, then you won't have any problems in coming before a righteous God, meeting Jesus at the cross. That's where he offered himself for you. That your sins may be taken care of. You'll realize you're a sinner because the Word of God says it, and the Word of God, as you study, will convict your heart. And you'll know you're a sinner. That's the reason many people do not like the truth. They don't like this radio program. They wouldn't like to study the precious Word over and over again. They have to have activities in the church. They have to have singers in constantly. They have to have so many things going on to keep people in church. My friend, the only thing that should keep you in the house of God is the Word of God and the presence of God. Now, if you're in a church that you have to have all these outside activities to keep people coming, you're deceiving yourself and those folks as well. Preach the Word of God that their hearts will be convicted, and I hope that they turn unto God with a repentant heart, as we're going to find these folks of Nineveh to do after Jonah arrives and preaches what God told him to preach. When we do that, when we preach what God tells us to preach, some people will listen and repent of their ways and come unto the Lord Jesus. Other people will listen and not like what they hear, because the truth, the Word of God, will convict your heart. That means you got to turn around. That means you got to change. That means you got to acknowledge and recognize that you're a sinful, rotten old person. There's nothing in you that's good. Oh, that's not, you know, I am taught today. We're taught today in school today that we are somebody. You go to a psychologist and he'll try to build you up. Stay away from them. Get into the Word of God. Get into a solid church that preaches the Word of God and listen to His power and His presence. He will give you victory. He'll pick you up. He's not going to say the reason you've got the trouble you've got today is something that your parents did, or something that they raised you incorrectly, or something someone said to you. That's all. It's psychology and psychiatrists. They dig back into the past and they dig all that up, but they can't deal with it. Well, my friend, when you come to the Word of God, maybe all those sins and those problems can be exposed, but we got the answer. The answer is Jesus. Now, the doctor can't deal with that, but Jesus can. Jesus can take that sin and that burden and that load away from you, that bondage from you. And that's the glorious time of walking after the Lord Jesus. And He set a life for us that's so pleasing and so joyful that you can't imagine how much fun that I have day after day in serving Him and walking after Him. And so please that you find the Lord Jesus today as we talk on this program, that you listen unto the Lord Jesus, that you hear His Word, and that you respond to that. Come to the cross of Calvary and be saved today, and then set your life out to serve Him. You know, we find here that Jonah, in verse 1, The command was, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You tell them what I tell them to tell you. You tell them what I tell you to tell them. I shouldn't have tried to say that. I was saying it too fast. Now, it's important that we say not what we are thinking, but we're saying what the Word of God says. And see, that's the joy of it. That's the power of it. When we look at the Word of God and we proclaim the truth, the Word of God. So Jonah this time, the second time it says according to verse 1, this time he went unto Nineveh. And it was an exceedingly great city. And he said it was 3 days' journey. Now that to most believe that that's the size of the city. And he traveled 1 day's journey into it. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was the Word of God. To come before these people, these evil people, come before them and tell them right out front, in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. One man goes into a mighty city, a very large city, a very wicked city, and he says these words, the words of God, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Oh, we need to learn to tell people to repent. You know, we have so many verses of Scripture. We know that in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What a joyful gift to receive. Please, that we stay in the Word of God and in the truth. And we know, according to Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It begins with the power of God. It begins with the love of God as He has come before you and offered His Son upon the cross. It started there. Now, from the foundations of the world, this was set into place. God knew the very time, the very minute, the very second that His Son would die on the cross of Calvary for all of mankind. And so the people that were before the cross, because Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago, the folks that were before that, they looked forward to the cross to be saved. They came by faith, saved by Jesus, just like we're saved by Jesus, but we look back to the cross because it's taken place. But please, that it started there. It was in the heart of God that all of man would be saved. And then after the work was completed, then Jesus went into the grave. He died on the cross, went into the grave 3 days and three nights, and He came out of that grave victorious. He's alive. And He was on this earth for 40 days, and then at the ascension, then He went back to be in the presence of His Father and to fellowship with His Father and to make intercession for you and for me. And He's seated right at the right hand right now. We have one example of the change of that, and that is when Stephen was stoned to death, that we find Stephen looking up into the heavens, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now that's quite a step, exciting thing, because the old servant Stephen, as he preached the gospel, and by preaching the gospel, it got him killed. But before he died, he didn't feel the pain, that physical pain at all, because as he looked heavenward and says, "Here I come," and there was Jesus, not sitting but standing, awaiting His arrival. Now please, that we set our hearts and our lives to do what Jesus wants us to do, that we repent, because you see, that's the next step. The work was finished. God's work is finished, and He has called all of us. But now, what are you going to do about that choice? Now, a lot of people don't think that we have a choice. Well, my friends, you do. The Scripture's full of verse after verse after verse. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead shall be saved. My friend, it's a glorious opportunity that every person through eternity has had, is to come by faith unto the Lord Jesus. Now we find many people in the Word of God that refuse that open and that free gift, and they do not come to the Lord Jesus. And that's very sad. And we need to do everything we can do to proclaim the Word of God, to call you to a place of repentance. Jonah was sent with a message that was very bold, very clear, and very simple. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown, period. Short message, wasn't it? You know, most preachers, and I'm guilty of the same, you know, we'll preach for 30, 45 minutes. Some preachers will preach a lot longer than that. Some have a 10 or 15 minute sermonette, and that's all that is. I mean, you got to get into the Word of God. Well, I guess if I'm saying that, then I'm going to have to say that Jonah here, he must have had a sermonette then, because his sermon wasn't very long. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. Boy, that's clear. Boy, that's quick. Boy, that's simple. And it was also effective. Look what happened. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth for the greatest of them, even unto the least of them. The word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from the throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Oh, those precious words that Jonah proclaimed to this city. In 40 days, this city is going to be overthrown. God has a message for those people, didn't he? Well, my friend, God's got a message for you. And that message is very simple, and that is repent. Just repent. Turn from your ways. The power of God, the power of His precious Word, can touch each and every heart. But we need to listen to that and respond to that calling. Oh, God could do whatever He wants to do. He can do whatever He wants to do. If He would choose that I cannot be saved and you can be saved, He could do that if He wanted to. But that's not in the character of God. God has set out to call this world to repentance. And He does many things to do that, to bring us to that sweet time when we'll fall on our face and call unto a righteous God and say, God, please forgive me for my sin. And He is faithful to save us. He is faithful to keep us. And you see, once I come to Jesus, I am kept through eternity. He does the keeping. I just need to turn to Him. And that's all He's wanting us to do. Now, as we turn, and a lot of folks have a lot of trouble with believing that once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, my dear friend, once you come to Jesus, you'll know it. Now, there's a lot of people that make a verbal statement with their mouth, but they don't have a change of heart. They don't have a change of mind. One said that to come to Jesus is a second mind. It's a total change. To come to Jesus is repentance. Come unto the Lord Jesus. And you know, as we look at the Word of God and enjoy this picture we have of the Ninevites, as they have come and recognized their sin. Now, look at this again. He said in verse 4, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. The people of Nineveh believed God. Now that's the first step that you must do. You must believe God. When they heard that in 40 days you're going to be overthrown, they believed that. They knew that to be true. Now that's the problem today, and when you believe that this is not the total, inerrant, inspired Word of God, when you have decided that there are areas of this Word that are not true or not necessarily the Word of God, then you have decided that there are just sections or spots, and you're depending on someone to be able to pick out those spots that are inspired by God. This is the inspired Word of God from cover to cover. These people, if they would have heard, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown, they could have listened to part of it. They could have thought that in 40 days some city would be overthrown, but not this one. They could have said that, yes, probably sometime because of our wickedness we'll be overthrown, but not in 40 days. Or they could have just ignored the whole thing and not even listen to the prophet at all. And once you decide that part of the Word is the Word of God and part of it isn't necessarily the Word of God, you're doing that. Well, these people, if they would have taken any part of this away, they would not have believed God. And you're doing the same thing when you divide the Word of God. When you divide it and separate it the way you want it, then there is no salvation in the Word of God for you. If you're saying that this isn't the inerrant Word of God, then there is no salvation for you. You can't be saved. Now you're saying, Larry, then that means that you can quote every verse of Scripture and you know everything in the Word of God to be true. I know everything in the Word of God to be true. I can't quote every verse of Scripture. As I study the Word of God, and just Sunday night here, we had one verse of Scripture that we read, and it had an appearance of having a certain meaning. But when we read it in context with the rest of the Scripture, and that's the reason that you won't find here that we use a Sunday school quarterly. We use the Bible as our lesson plan. We use the Bible as our learning. We use the Bible as our book of walk and the talk that we should have. We're not reading one or two verses in or out of context, whichever way you decide to do it, in some Sunday school book, and then reading what that man had to say about that. You're not getting the inspired Word of God because you're taking it away from the Word. When we read that one verse, you couldn't believe how that when we inserted then the three verses beyond that, it totally changed what it meant. And that's the reason you have to be so careful that when you hear someone quote a verse of Scripture and they say that that one contradicts the other, not necessarily, because if you would take it in context and look who it's speaking to, and that's the reason we must search the Word of God. That's the reason I tell you that I love the King James Bible, that I don't care for the other types and the other versions of the Bible. They have made it so easy and so comfortable to read that you no longer have to study or search the Word. You can casually read it, just like you would read any other novel or any other book that you might pick up. I don't want this to be just any other kind of book that you pick up. This is the Word of God. You need to open this precious Word, study verse after verse, and that's exactly every study that we have. It's an ongoing study of the precious Scripture. And we've shared with this before, but like on Wednesday night, we're in the book of Numbers. On Sunday morning, I've been preaching on Be Ye Holy. Now, I've been in some areas of Scripture, but when I preach out of one area of Scripture, I have several Scripture verses that we're reading so that you can see it's in context. You know, and as we come back together on Sunday night, we're in the book of Isaiah. Again, an ongoing study. Now, on Wednesday night, as I said, we're in Numbers, but we have studied Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Now we're in Numbers, and we're going on through the Scripture, verse by verse, as we're studying those words. You can't take something out of context and make it sound like what you want it to when you're going to study that next verse tomorrow night. You know, it's important that you search the Word of God, that you enjoy the precious Word, that you study the precious Word. And every place that we have a study, whether it's the Lay's Bible study on Tuesday afternoon or whether it's on the harp, where it's ongoing. It's verse after verse. The next week you come back, verse after verse, as we do on the radio. These people here could have turned these words around, yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. But instead of that, they believed God. Now, I want you to believe God. I don't want you to tell somebody, hey, I've listened to Larry on the radio, and I believe what he's saying. I want you to say to that person, I believe God. Because, you see, I'm proclaiming the Word of God. I believe God. And when God says in His Word, and I'm the messenger, I'm telling you that the Word of God says, repent and turn from your wicked ways and come to Jesus. And these people had that result. And if you truly come to Jesus, you will turn from your ways. Now, I've had a lot of folks that have come, they've been saved, they stay for a little bit, but then when that Holy Spirit starts to convict their heart, then all of a sudden you find them missing this Bible study and that Bible study, and you don't hear from them, you don't see them, and you wonder where they're at. Well, what happened is there's sin in their life, and yes, they could truly be saved. But right now, they're not willing to surrender and give all of their heart and all their life to Jesus. And so they're backing up, and that Word just continues to convict their heart. Or maybe they truly were not saved at all. They didn't really come to Jesus, and they really didn't have a change of life, and they just got tired of acting. To be a Christian is not an act. It's the way I live. It's me. because Jesus is in me by the Holy Spirit, and I walk after the Lord Jesus. These people, they had an action. Whenever they heard the word of God, Nineveh believed God, verse 5 says, and immediately something happened. They proclaimed a fast, they quit eating, and they put on sackcloth, the greatest of them, even to the least. You know, that's what we need in this country. That's what we need in the church. Let's not get to the country, and let's talk about the church. That's where the church will change. If you start with the greatest, if you're a deacon in the church, or an elder in the church, or pastor in the church, and this word is no longer touching your heart, you get into it. You study. You may find out you're not even saved. I don't care that you're the leadership of the church. I've seen so many churches that have people that are in leadership positions in the church that have a filthy mouth when they talk, that have no witness or testimony. You're liable to see them any place or anywhere. There is no separation, no division at all. And yet they're in leadership positions. Now, those people are very welcome. Anyone and everyone is very welcome into this church. But until you set your life to be separated and set your life to be Christ-like, will you have any place of leadership or that the point that we need to make here, and I want to make it very clear, and that is that God has set out people as you find that he called deacons. Well, if you look at the level of the people, that the qualifications that those people should have, we have walked away from them. I've had people tell me in this church before when they ask if this person, they need to be in leadership position. And I would say they can't be. This and this, according to the Word of God, is not right. Oh, we don't have to look at that anymore. Yes, we do. It's the Word of God. And that's what's happened today to our churches. People, by popularity, have become leaders of the church, not by a holiness, not by walking after Christ, but by being popular. And if you want to destroy a church and take the power of God away from the church, you just do that. You just set out that people can walk and do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. It's not going to be long that the power of God will be gone. As it tells us in the book of Revelation, many times the lampstand, God's presence, is pulled away from the church. And it certainly has happened today. I was so excited when you read this because it says, from the greatest even to the least of them. From the greatest. So deacon, repent of your ways and turn unto God and watch it just fall all the way down through your church, and you'll have a great, powerful church again. Preacher, maybe you need to start first. You need to get on your hands and knees and say, God, please forgive me for my wicked ways. Forgive me for walking away from your power and your presence. It can begin today. There is no church anywhere that cannot come back into the power and the presence and be a powerful church and a witness for Jesus. And people will start being saved in the community if you'll get your heart right. But it started with the greatest and went down to the least. So it started with you, leader. It started with you, pastor. It started with you, Sunday school teacher. It started with you, deacon or elder or trustee or whatever name you want to put on, church board, whatever organization that you have within your church to do business. I tell you what, you need to see that your leadership is holy, separated. If they're not, pray that God will get a hold of them and bring them to a place of repentance, because that's what happened here. And when you're truly saved and truly a child of God, you will repent of your ways. And these people did. They came down, and from the greatest to the least. And the word came even unto the king. And the king rose up and took his from his throne, and he took his robe off of him, and he laid it aside, and he sat in with a sackcloth on and in ashes. Total humility, repentance. Why? Because one man proclaimed the word of God. He said, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah did. And it was a very simple message, a very clear message, and a very short message. And it said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And they believed. Oh, please believe the word of God today. Will you believe the word of God today? Will you come to Jesus? Will you come with a repentant heart, turn unto him, and look forward to the exciting life he's going to give you? My friend, what are you going to do about this Jesus?